If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
We've been doing a sermon series entitled A Faith That Works. And our premise is that a so-called faith that doesn't work, that isn't effective, is really of no value to us. You know, we said, people say, oh, I have my faith. Well, what does that mean? You know, how's the faith working for us? That's the issue. And we've been speaking on a faith that works. Remember, we talked about, first of all, a real faith, a faith that's genuine, a faith that's effective. And then we did a message on victorious faith. Remember that? A faith that moves mountains. God has given us mountain-moving faith. Then we talked about persevering faith, a faith that doesn't give up, that perseveres through the trials. And last week we talked about having a confident faith, a faith that maintains confidence in Almighty God no matter what storms come our way. And I have a new message on faith today. I'm excited to share this today. I believe it's going to bless your hearts. I want to read a few verses from Judges chapter 6. We'll be referring to several verses in Judges 6 and 7 throughout the message today. But Judges 6, 11 through 12 say this: "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Now, the title of my message today is Unshakable Faith. Unshakable Faith. Now, as we look at the story of Gideon, the thought may occur to you, as it occurred to me, that, you know, when we look at Gideon, he doesn't seem, all the way through the story anyway, to perhaps be a great example of unshakable faith. And that's true. He had his issues. But that's exactly the point today. You know, when we look at our own faith, we may say, "Pastor Tim, I don't always feel like I have an unshakable faith." Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. You know, we don't always feel like we have an unshakable faith. But as we go through the story of Gideon, we will find that God developed within him, through a process, he developed within him an unshakable faith. And how many know God is still working on us? Aren't you thankful he's not done working? Amen. I know I'm glad that I can still be, under development, as they say. And so we want to look at how God develops within us an unshakable faith. And specifically this morning, in the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, what are the characteristics of an unshakable faith? A faith that isn't shaken by anything. What are the characteristics of an unshakable faith? Well, the first one is this: an unshakable faith isn't shaken by difficult circumstances. An unshakable faith isn't shaken by difficult circumstances. In verse 13, let me back up. Let me set the context here. Israel was under oppression by the Midianites. You know, that's the story of the book of Judges. The people of God would be disobedient. God would allow oppressors to oppress them. They would repent and cry out to God, and God would raise up a deliverer, or a judge as they're known, bring them freedom from their oppressors, and the cycle would unfortunately repeat. But in this passage of Scripture, the Israelites are under oppression from the Midianites. And Gideon is a young man who, it says, is threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, the wine press wasn't a usual area where one would thresh wheat. They would normally do so on an open plain where they would separate the chaff from the wheat and the wind would take the chaff away. But here he's in a wine press in an enclosed, a hidden place. because of the oppression of the Midianites. He's hiding out, so to speak. So the angel of the Lord appears to this young man who's hiding out, you know, performing his task, and he greets him as a mighty warrior and says that the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Well, then we come to verse 13, and Gideon's response is this. He says, if the Lord is with us, isn't that human nature? The Lord says something, and we have the temerity to say, if that's the case. How many know when God says something, there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it?
Amen.
But Gideon said, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. You know, it's been said that there are two types of phases we can experience in our spiritual journeys. Consolation and desolation. Simply put, consolation is when we hear God speaking to us or see his works clearly in our lives. We easily experience his peace and joy. Aren't you thankful for those times?
Amen.
Desolation, however, is when it's difficult to hear God's word or see his works in our lives. Have you experienced those times? We often feel anxiety, sadness, or even mistrust of God during those times. You're not alone if you experience that. Mother Teresa herself experienced about 40 years of spiritual darkness. Did you know that? Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, spent 13 years without any communication from God. And yet his faith only grew stronger. You see, it's human nature when we go through difficult circumstances to conclude that somehow God has abandoned us. Oh, we know better, don't we? But yet our emotions rise up. And we say, God, where are you? That was the mindset of Jesus' disciples in Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. Remember when Jesus was in their boat and he was down below fast asleep and a storm came up as would happen, furious storms came up and they were fearful. They feared for their lives, and so they woke Jesus up and they asked him, don't you even care if we drown? We feel like that, don't we? God, don't you care? Where are you? Jesus, of course, calmly rebuked the wind and the waves. They immediately calmed down. Don't you love that?
Amen.
And then he rebuked them for their lack of faith. But you know, we're the same way. Jesus, don't you care? God, where are you? And difficult circumstances, if we're not careful, they can shake our faith in Almighty God. But you know what? Jesus is still in our boat.
Amen.
He's still with us. He's aware. He is apprised of your situation. And he has not forsaken you. I love what F.B. Meyer said. He said, unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God. But faith puts God between us and our circumstances. Hallelujah. And God wants to build within you and me an unshakable faith that can't be shaken by our circumstances. That no matter what we experience, we know that our God is with us. We know that Jesus is in our boat. Hallelujah. And come what may, let the storms arise, but our faith isn't shaken by our circumstances because Almighty God is fulfilling his promise to be with us. Hallelujah. Jesus is in your boat this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God wants to develop within each of us a faith that isn't shaken by difficult circumstances.
Amen.
Secondly, this morning, an unshakable faith isn't shaken by personal weakness. By personal weakness. Amen. The angel told Gideon that he was to be a mighty warrior. And Gideon gave that reaction sometimes when God calls us to do great things, you know. me? Who, me? You talking to me? Listen to what he said in verses 15 and 16. "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Talk about typical human reaction. "God, I'm not feeling it." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon, at the time of his calling, intensely felt his personal weakness. And make no mistake about it, when it comes to doing great things for God, we're weak. We feel that, don't we? If you look through Scripture, time after time after time, God called men and women to do mighty works that they were completely powerless to do. But you see, it's not about our strength. It's not about our ability. It's not about our capacity. Paul knew the secret of this. Paul said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." You see, the question isn't our innate strength. It's our willingness and our ability to tap in to the strength of Almighty God. Amen. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, great man of God, knew the secret of strength through weakness. He was once complimented by a friend on the impact of the mission, and he answered this way. He said, "You know, it seemed to me that God looked over the whole earth to find a man who was weak enough to do his work. And then when he at last found me, he said, 'He's weak enough. He'll do.'" All of God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they counted on His being with them. You see, weakness, personal weakness, will only shake our faith if we let it. Personal weakness is a fact of life, but it needn't shake our faith, because our faith isn't in our own strength, it's in the strength of Almighty God. Amen? Remember the movie, The Lion King, that came out last year, the animated movie? Some of you saw that. Parents of kids and kids, you probably saw it. There's one scene in that movie where the young lion cub, Simba, takes his friend Nala to the elephant graveyard. Okay? If you haven't seen it, you're saying, "What are you talking about?" Well, just go with me. But this was strictly forbidden by his father, the king Mufasa. But little Simba was fearless. So he takes his friend Nala to the elephant graveyard, and there they are pursued by a pack of wild hyenas. And in one scene, Simba and Nala are cornered by these wild hyenas who are bent on something no good. And so he summons all his strength, this little lion cub, and he lets out the mightiest roar he can. But it's the weak little puny roar of a lion cub. And the hyenas just laugh, and they taunt him. And they say, "Try that again." So he steps back and he takes a deep breath and goes to let out a mighty roar. And pretty soon the theater is shaken because you don't hear the puny little roar of a baby lion cub, but you hear the mighty roar of Mufasa, his father, who's come on the scene. And those hyenas, they scamper away because daddy's on the scene. Hallelujah. And you know, you and I, we might try to muster up all our courage and our strength, but the mightiest roar we can muster is like the puny little roar of a lion cub. But hallelujah, our Heavenly Father is on the scene. And the Lion of Judah, hallelujah, raises up and gives a mighty roar and causes our enemies to flee. Hallelujah. Yes, we're weak, but He is strong. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And an unshakable faith can't be shaken by our personal weakness because we serve the mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. What's the third characteristic of an unshakable faith? It's this: it isn't shaken by human opposition. God spoke to Gideon after his calling and told him to tear down an Asherah pole. We talked about this in our study, our last study of Immerse. An Asherah pole was a pole raised to facilitate the worship of Baal, idol worship. And irony of ironies, it was Gideon's father, Jabesh, who had erected this pole to Baal worship. And God, undoubtedly as a pretest, of his mighty mission, told Gideon to tear down this pole of idol worship and to use the wood to build an altar to the Lord God. And so Gideon hedged his bets a little bit. He did it at night. We find this in chapter 6 of Judges, verses 25 through 31. He did it at night and obeyed the Lord and built the altar. In the morning, the men of the town found the idol pole destroyed, the altar built to God, and they determined that Gideon, son of Joash, did this. And they said, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. And the men of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son, he must die, because he's broken down Baal's altar. Let me tell you something. We all have times of paranoia, don't we? But when people are saying you must die, that's not paranoia. You know, like the old story, somebody said, you know, I think people are out to get me. Am I paranoid, doc? Your doctor said I have good news and bad news. The good news is you're not paranoid. The bad news is people are out to get you. They wanted to take his life. And ironically, it was his own father, Jabesh, who had built the altar that defended him. He basically said, if Baal is really a god, he can defend himself. But human opposition. See, God called Gideon to do a mighty work. He knew that this opposition wouldn't amount to anything. But boy, when we feel like people are against us, when we are burdened down by the opinions and the expressions of others, man, that's a weight, isn't it? We think possibly shake our faith. Heard a story about G. Campbell Morgan. G. Campbell Morgan was a great minister, a great man of God in the late 1800s, early 1900s, pastored the great Westminster Chapel in London. But when he was a young man in 1888, he was one of 150 young men who sought entrance to the Wesleyan ministry. And he passed the written examinations, but then faced the trial sermon. And in a cavernous auditorium of 1,000 people sat three ministers and about 75 other people as he delivered his trial sermon. And 2 weeks later, his name appeared on the list of 105 young men under the title Rejected for Ministry. And he was heartbroken, and he sent a wire to his father telling him the news, and the wire had one word: rejected. His father, and he wrote in his diary at the time, Campbell Morgan did, very dark, everything seems very dark, but still, he knows best. His father quickly sent a return wire to G. Campbell Morgan. It said this: rejected on earth, accepted in heaven. Dad. In his later years, G. Campbell Morgan said, God said to me in the weeks of loneliness and darkness that followed, he said, I want you to cease making plans for yourself. Let me plan your life. You see, as he found out, rejection is rarely permanent. And he went on to prove that. And as I said, he had a great ministry. And you see, sometimes we are so overwhelmed by the opinions of others, by the opposition of others. And listen, may God deliver us from having to have the approval of everyone else around us. You know, the most important person whose approval you and I need to have is Almighty God's.
Amen.
And listen, we all care about what people think about us. Let's be honest about that. But when you get right down to it, we only need the approval of one, Almighty God. Amen. And an unshakable faith isn't shaken by human opposition, by the opinions of others, by the rejection of others. Hallelujah. This morning you may be here, you may be watching online, and you may be feeling down because of something someone said or something someone didn't say, or because of a lack of approval, or because of a perceived opinion of others. You know, I find out half the time when I have a chip on my shoulder, I have a thought that someone else disapproves. Many times I find out that's not even the case, and sometimes it's my own paranoia. I don't know if you can relate to that. But in the end, it doesn't matter anyway. And an unshakable faith isn't shaken by those who come against us, by those who oppose us. Number four, an unshakable faith isn't shaken by lingering uncertainty. By lingering uncertainty. Gideon said, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised." There's that "if" again. And he put God to the test. He tested God's faith. We talked about this in our Bible study on this. He said, "I'm going to put a fleece, an animal skin basically, a fleece on the threshing floor. And in the morning, I ask just so I have peace of mind about this, that the fleece be wet with dew and the ground be dry." He got up the next morning. That was the case. You think he should be convinced, right? He said, "God, I just have one little more request." We just want to be sure that we're sure, don't we? He said, "I'm going to put the fleece out again, this time so I'll know it's you. Let the fleece be dry and let the ground around it be wet with dew." And the next morning, that was the case. God accommodated himself to the uncertainty in Gideon's mind. Some of you have heard me tell the story many, many times when God was leading my wife and myself to plant Harvest Church, to leave a ministry we'd been at for 10 years and just... You know, we were so comfortable there, but God was calling us, and somebody gave us, I apologize because many of you have heard this many times, but somebody gave us for Christmas that year one of those tearaway calendars, and it had one scripture per day. And boy, every scripture, remember that, hon? Jeremiah 29, "I know the plans I have for you," and scriptures like that. Man, our refrigerator, you know, a place where we go often, our refrigerator was papered with those scriptures, And I like to say, God accommodates himself to deal with our doubts, doesn't he? And we shouldn't beat ourselves up for being uncertain or having doubts. But unshakable faith isn't shaken by that uncertainty. I read about an animal called the African impala. The African impala, which is a type of an antelope. It can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with merely a 3-foot wall. And the reason for that is fascinating. They will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. Even though they have the ability, if they're not certain about where their feet will fall, they will not jump. You see, faith in Almighty God, having an unshakable faith, means that if he is calling us to take a leap of faith, we will leap, not even knowing where we'll land.
Amen.
Because our unshakable faith is in a reliable God. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, if there was ever a time of lingering uncertainty, it's now, isn't it?
Yes.
COVID-19, economic downturn, strife, and just everything going on. I don't need to tell you what's going on. We wonder when things will return to normal, or indeed if they ever completely will. I was saying this to somebody the other day. The fact of the matter is nobody saw this coming. If anybody says they did, you know, I would be skeptical. And nobody knows now what's going to happen. Not really. Would you agree with that? And that is one of the most unsettling things, is being uncertain about the future, isn't it? But you know what? Nothing catches our God by surprise.
Hallelujah.
and an unshakable faith and an unshakable God is not shaken by lingering uncertainty. Yes, I can't tell you what exactly what your future holds, but I can tell you this. God holds you, child of God, in the center of his hand, and he will take care of you. And you can have an unshakable faith in him. Number five, an unshakable faith isn't shaken by limited resources. It isn't shaken by limited resources. So God was preparing Gideon and his troops to fight against the Midianites. And they had about 32,000 men. Now, the Midianites had many, many more, hundreds of thousands of men. They were outnumbered to begin with. And so, you know what God said to Gideon? God said, Gideon, you have too many men. Huh? Way too many men. So he says, tell all the troops, and we read this in chapter 7, verses 2 through 8. Verses 36 through, I'll get it right, verses 2 through 8, chapter 7. He says, you have too many men. Tell everybody who's afraid they can go home. Show me that in the military manual, right? If you're afraid, that's go home. So promptly 22,000 out of 32,000 men went home. Now you got 10,000. Wow, what are we going to do? You know what God said to Gideon? Again? You still got too many men. Come again? So go down to the river, the lake, and all those who bend down and put their mouth down to the water, send them home. Only the ones who lap up the water, hang on to them. So 9,700 were sent packing with that latest development. 300 men left. Okay, this is getting ridiculous. But what God was doing was making it abundantly clear that the victory that was going to take place would clearly be seen as being wrought by the hand of God and not by the valor or the wisdom of man. And so that's exactly what happened. And God, aren't you glad God just knows what we need? He, to bolster Gideon's courage just a little bit, he sent him and one of his aides down to spy near the Midianite camp. And they heard two soldiers discussing a dream that one of them had. And one of them said, yeah, I dreamed that, man, Gideon and the Israelites just rolled into our camp and just decimated us. Now, that was all Gideon needed to hear. And so he goes back to his own camp and he says to the 300, he says, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Hallelujah. You talk about an unshakable faith. Outnumbered about, 100 to 1, or 1,000 to 1, or whatever it was. And yet he said he was full of faith. Hallelujah. Because an unshakable faith isn't shaken by limited resources. Amen? How many have experienced that and know what it means to have God supply what you need? Heard a story about a poor woman in a third world country, tropical country, and she became a Christian. And she became known for her simple faith in Almighty God. And she took God literally at his word. Some months after her conversion, her little child fell sick. And the child's recovery was doubtful. And she needed ice for the child. But there was no ice to be found in this tropical climate. And she said to the missionary who was there in the town, she said, I'm going to pray for God to send ice. And the missionary said, oh, you can't expect that God will do that. And the woman was just a simple-hearted believer with faith in God. And she said, why not? God has all the power. God can do whatever he wants to do. And she said, you told us that. Preachers love when they get their words quoted back to them. I've experienced that. It's a lot of fun. She said, so I'm going to believe God for ice. Well, what happened was she prayed and soon a heavy thunderstorm came and it was accompanied by a lot of hail. And so she took several bowls full, gathered up all the hail and put that ice on her child's body and her child recovered. Hallelujah. Because, church, a little is a lot when God is in it. Amen? Hallelujah. Scripture says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So, Pastor Tim, I don't have much. Neither did the lad with a little lunch, but God fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Neither did the woman who had nothing but just a little bit of oil, but yet God multiplied the oil and she sold it and met their needs. You may not have much, but you have God and that you have all you need. Amen? Unshakable faith isn't shaken by limited resources. And sixthly and finally, unshakable faith isn't shaken by unorthodox commands. So what's the battle plan? We have 300 men against hundreds of thousands of opponents. We're going to have some special kind of weapons. Yeah, you're going to place trumpets and empty jars in the hands of the soldiers. Find that in the military manual. Gideon said, watch me. We find this in chapter 7, verse 16 through 18. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all the camp, blow your trumpets and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. So go into battle, blow your trumpets, break your pitchers, let your light shine, and that's how we're going to win. You talk about unorthodox. 100 out of 100 people would say that's nuts. But you see, the scriptures are full of God using unorthodox means to bring about deliverance, aren't they? Remember when the prophet Elisha told Naaman to dip 7 times into the Jordan River to be healed of leprosy? And at first he was refusing. I'm like, we have cleaner rivers in our place. I'm not doing that. But his servants convinced him and God healed him. Remember at the wedding of Cana in John chapter 2 when they ran out of wine, which was a big social blunder? And Jesus told the servants, fill the serving jars with water and then serve them to the guests. That's crazy. But he did, and it was transformed to wine, and it was better wine than they had served originally. Because God always supplies the best, amen? Unorthodox commands. Are you and I so sensitive to the voice of God that he could tell us to do something that is counter to our thoughts of what should be done? And yet we obey him. I'm not talking about following every crazy idea that comes into our heads. You know, we have thoughts come. Sometimes, you know, we ate too much before bed or something. You know, we get crazy thoughts sometimes. But I'm talking about when we know we've heard the voice of God. And we talked last week about sometimes the experts, you know, don't always get it right. And every expert may tell you something, and all your friends may tell you one thing, but if God tells you to do something else, it might not even make sense to you. But how many know, if we know we've heard the voice of God, then we can respond affirmatively and be obedient, because our faith isn't shaken by unorthodox commands.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The result of this story, you know the result. The Israelites followed through with their battle plan. They blew their trumpets. They shined their lights. The Midianites turned on each other, and God granted Gideon and Israel a mighty, mighty victory. Their unshakable faith in God was justified. Amen? I love Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to develop in each of us an unshakable faith this morning. A faith that isn't shaken by our difficult circumstances. It's not shaken by our personal weakness. It's not shaken by human opposition. It's a faith that isn't shaken by lingering uncertainty or by limited resources. And a faith that isn't shaken by unorthodox commands. Hallelujah.